Well, welcome to the Mary Heitkin Dumont University here at Anshei Sephard Beth Lamech Congregation. And in our third part of the liturgical department in our series on Tefillah. So first we talked about the Shema and its blessings. Then we talked about the Amidah. And now we're ready for Brachot. Welcome to Mrs. Radinsky who's with us. Welcome, welcome. Then we're ready to talk about the Brachot. And I wanted to focus really... There's so many different brachot we could focus on. I wanted to focus particularly on the benching, because really the benching, as we'll see, is a quintessential bracha. It's really the only bracha that's mandated by the Torah. So it's so fascinating. And many of our thoughts tonight will be from this relatively new volume by Rabbi Soloveitchik, and which came out posthumously, as most of his writings have, Blessings and Thanksgiving. And I have the privilege that it was dedicated in memory of my aunt Gladys Neustadter. And so with that thought from Aunt Gladys, let's get right into it. What are we going to do tonight? We're going to look at what is a blessing. What does it mean to bless God? Kind of a strange idea. I'm going to give a blessing to God. We're going to look at that quintessential blessing, the Birkat HaMazon. And what does each blessing mean? And then we'll ask, what does this tell us about blessings in general? Many of our thoughts will be from Rabbi Soloveitchik. The framework will be Rabbi Soloveitchik's framework. Now, the only time it actually says to bless God, as we mentioned, is this verse in Parshat Ekev in Deuteronomy, that it says, "Echalta v'savata u'birachta Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach," that you will eat, you'll be satiated, and you will bless God for the good land that He gave you. Now, the question is, what does it mean to bless God? So some people, I think, when they think bless, they think praise, right? That it, not really blessing him, like going to give, like you go to a Rebbe and he gives you a bracha that you should have children or you should be successful. That's a bracha. I'm not giving God a bracha that he should be successful or he should be the king of the universe. He's already the king of the universe. But maybe it's just praise. Or no, maybe it's Thanksgiving. Or maybe it really is a blessing that I'm giving God a bracha. This notion, we could perhaps give a bracha to God. I once talked about it once. Actually, I came as a scholar in residence with Rabbi Grossman to the Baron Hirsch congregation. We talked about this famous Gemara in Brachos 7a. And it says that it was taught in the Braita that Rabbi Ishmael ben Elisha, the high priest, said, "Once on Yom Kippur, I entered the innermost sanctum, the Holy of Holies, to offer the incense." Now, whether he actually offered it, I'm not sure, or whether this is just a dream. But in any event, to offer incense. And in a vision, I saw Akatriel Ka, the Lord of Hosts. Now, does that mean he saw the highest angel? Does it mean he actually had a vision of God? Is he actually talking to the archangel? He's talking to God. But anyway, sounds like he's talking to God. It's one of the names of God expressing his ultimate authority. Seated on a high and exalted throne, as it says in Isaiah 6. And he said to me, "Yishmael, my son, bless me." So God, or this vision of God, asks Yishmael to bless him, to bless God. I said to him, the prayer that God prays. So he said to him the prayer that the Talmud has asserted in the previous line, that God himself makes this prayer every day anyway. "May it be your will that your mercy overcome your anger." This is a prayer that we say every day. If you say the Akedah, the Binding of Isaac, every morning, right after that, this prayer appears there, that God should be more merciful than angry. In other words, God is complex. God has all the sfirot, all the different expressions of greatness and kindness and anger and judgmental nature and all that. And the prayer is that God should be more on the loving side, less on the judging side. So that's the prayer. "And may your mercy prevail over your other attributes. May you act toward your children with an attribute of mercy." Excuse me. "And may you enter." Move over here. "And may you enter." Anyone read that for us? Beyond the letter of the law, that you should, that you should behave with us. Give us a little extra break. Enter before them. Treat the Jews with an beyond the letter of the law. Don't judge us with the letter of the law. Go beyond. So the idea we could bless God is at least asserted elsewhere. It's done with the patches. Is, of course, that's just passing the buck. So now we need to understand what does the Talmud mean by blessing God. So we need to get a little further and deeper into it. Anyone want to take a stab at it? What could it mean to bless God?
Can they thank God? The blessing of thanks, thank you, blessing.
So we said, right. Oh, good. So that we're going to see later. We'll see a thanks later. We'll see a possibility of the idea of thanks later. Excellent. But the idea that it's blessing is kind of intriguing. There's an Italian rabbi, the Recanati. I forget exactly what century he was in. It was medieval. And he wrote the following. He has a book of mitzvot. We've been looking at different books of mitzvot. He has one. And he said, God wants our bracha very badly. As the rabbi said, he doesn't quote our passage in brachot, quotes a passage in Shabbat. What is it, 87 or something in Shabbat, when Moshe went up to the heavens for 40 days. So he saw God was putting the crowns on the letters. And he told him that one day there'd be a person named Rabbi Akiva. He would explain why the crowns were on the letters. So God turns to Moshe and he says, Moshe, ein shalom bircha. What's the matter? You don't wish me shalom aleichem? Amar lafanav, so Ribon Shalom, master of the universe, Yishcha Evich notin shalom rabba. A slave doesn't say shalom aleichem to the Rebbe. The Rebbe says it first. You don't give shalom aleichem to your Rebbe, to your master, to your teacher. So Amar lo, Ayalacha Azraini, you should have helped me. Miyad Batach. So immediately Moses said, Na yigdal na kawach Hashem. I want God to become greater. You ever hear of a prayer like that where we ask God to become greater?
In the Kaddish. Magnified and sanctified.
Correct. That may God be greater and sanctified. His name should grow bigger. There is this idea that God's name is, it's not what it should be. Name means how other people express, understand God. It's lacking. A lot of people don't believe in God. Some people deny God. They believe in a different God. They don't understand what God is. They attribute things to God that one should never attribute to God. So therefore, God needs help. He needs help of people on earth to bring him, make him the king, al kol haaretz, as we say in Aleinu. So, and if you don't give him a bracha, you're stealing from him. It's like, I want to... if you don't give your mother a Mother's Day card on Mother's Day, you're stealing from her. She deserves it. So we should give God brachas as well. So there is this idea that the mystics are ready to dive into head on, that we're actually sort of giving to God. Now, of course, the philosophers would object very strenuously. They say, look, God doesn't need anything. He is perfect. Any intimation that he needs something is implying that he's not perfect. So we would say that he is perfect in the Platonic sense, and ideally in his realm, he's perfect. But for him to be perfect down here, for him to be recognized down here, he needs our help. He needs my help to be, forget about reigning over the whole world, to reign over my life. That's up to me if I'm going to let God reign over my life. And that's completely in my hands. And I have the ability to give that blessing to God, that God will be blessed in my life. Now, in order to appreciate that verse that we started with, that you should eat and be satiated and bless God for the good land that he gave you, we need to know the context. Because that will tell us something about blessings also. So who wants to read this for us? Remember the long way. Anybody? Anyone want to read it for us out loud?
Do you want me to start at remember?
Please.
Yeah, okay. Remember the long way that the Lord your God has made you travel in the wilderness these past 40 years, that he might test you by hardships to learn what was in your hearts, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He subjected you to the hardship of hunger and then gave you manna to eat. What's that?
The manna, yes.
And the manna to eat, yep. Which neither you nor your fathers had ever known, in order to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but that man may live on anything that the Lord decrees. The clothes upon you,
yeah, so Rabbi, did not wear Rabbi, out. One second. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch wanted to suggest that since in the end we're going to bless God, He says, look, I gave you man from heaven. Now you should bless God for the land that I get, for the food that I give you and the land that I give you. It means that just like we thank God for the man that comes directly from heaven, so too, we should thank God for the food, even though it's not as direct. Continue.
Great. The clothes upon you did not wear out, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. Bear in mind that the Lord your God disciplines you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walk in his ways and revere him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and springs and fountains issuing from plain and hill, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, figs, and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat food without stint, where you will lack nothing, a land whose rocks are iron and from whose hills you can mine copper. Don't know the rest. Got covered.
Okay. When you've eaten your fill, give thanks to the Lord your God, the good land she has given you. So thank you, Jason.
Sure.
So there's also a lot of talk there in Deuteronomy of don't forget God. Be careful lest you forget God. So some want to say that the blessing is not to give God something he doesn't have. God doesn't need anything, the philosophers would argue, Jewish philosophers. But rather that maybe you don't recognize it. Maybe you don't recognize that just as the man came from heaven, our ability to live, to have food, to have a land, it also comes directly from heaven. It's a matter of acknowledging that God is a source of blessing. So that's the context to not forget. The blessing is a matter of acknowledging the blessing that comes from God. We'll see that in the Sefer Chinuch in a moment. Now, when the Rambam, we're always interested in what does the Rambam have to say. When the Rambam formulates the mitzvah to bless God, he says something uncharacteristic. The Rambam's not generally one of these pietists who, you know, gets all flowery about God's name. This is a legal book. This is a 14-volume legal book. And he's telling you the 613 mitzvot, very perfunctorily, just one line. So it's a mitzvah to bless the great and holy name after we eat. It's this business of great and holy name. Again, there are different editions of the Rambam, but in the edition that Rabbi Salvajic used, and it's in the printed edition, it says to bless the great and holy name. Oh, great and holy name. What did the Rambam, is a Hasidic Rebbe, say? Oh, you should bless the great and holy name. So just tell us to bless God, to bless the master of the universe, to bless whatever you want to call Hashem. Get it over with. Like in this other edition, it just says, Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bless the name of the Holy One, blessed to be. That's the normal way Jews talk. To say, to bless the great and holy name? What's this business of great and holy? So Rabbi Salvajic claimed that great and holy reflects two ideas. Gedula, he says, Gedula and Gevura. Gedula is chesed, kindness, the right side. Gevura is judgment. Every day we say Hakel Hagadol, that's kindness. Hagibor, that's on the left side. Anora, something in the middle. So Gedula means the name of God, the holy name of God. The kindness name, the loving name of God. And the Kadosh, the name is also holy. Holiness represents what? Holding back. Why? How does a Jew become holy? It says, you're a holy nation, don't eat the pig. What's that got to do with being holy? Restraint is holiness. You're a holy nation. What does that mean? We have a lot of mitzvot. There's a lot of stuff we have to do and a lot of stuff we can't do. Holiness is restraint. So, and God himself restrained himself. He's the ultimate one who restrained himself from filling the whole world. Comes Rabbi Salvajic and says, the whole philosophy of eating is found in these two names of God that the Rambam used, Gedula and Kedusha. Eating must be done in kindness. As the Gemara says in Tainit, there was a rabbi who, he would place a water jug and hang it from the door saying, anyone who needs, let him come. It's the same words we use at the Seder, Kol dichvin yetev yechol. Anyone who's hungry, let them come. A Jewish meal, not just Shabbos, not just Pesach, is supposed to begin with the idea, let other people come. So Jewish eating is supposed to be done with kindness, and Jewish eating is supposed to be done with restraint. There's some things that we don't eat. So the siddur is very, so when you say your blessings, it reminds you of the kindness of God, that God is so kind, he gives us this. And it also, the fact that we eat kosher reminds us of the restraint as well. A little problem with my connection. If I get cut off, don't worry, I'll be back. An aside, blessings teach values. Rabbi Soloveitchik in another article says that why in the morning do we say, in Malbish Arumim, he clothes the naked. Why don't I say that he gave me clothes or he let me, he puts the clothes on, he Malbish, he clothes us. What exactly? He says, the idea is we wake up in the morning, we talk about things that God did, things that God does that we need to emulate. Rabbi Soloveitchik claimed that we don't mention every bodily function in the morning. We could mention, oh, I can hear, I can, we don't mention everything. We only talk, there's a big focus on things that will help us guide our ethical behavior. So the blessings are not just about God, it's about who we should be. So when we go and we say the Birkat Mazon, in some ways we're reminding ourselves that we want to act in kindness, to eat in with kindness, and to eat with restraint. Also, the Raz Ramban points out we shouldn't be the Nachmanides points out we shouldn't be gluttonous either, so there's a restraint there as well. Now, the there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ravad, where what happens if you would just eat a little bit, like an olive's worth? So the Ravad says, what do you mean? Olives, there's a debate about it, but no matter what you eat, if you eat olives or whatever you eat, it's a Torah commandment to eat. But the Rambam says, no, only if you're full. And it leads to an interesting Gemara about something which is going to be one of our punchlines. One of the key points for tonight is this Gemara about thanking God even when we're not so full. Let's take a look. Ms. Radinsky, would you read it for us?
A Rav Avira taught. Sometimes he's... Is that what you want me to read from Brachos?
Please.
Okay, Rav Avira taught. Sometimes he said it in the name of Rabbi Ami, and sometimes he said it in the name of Rabbi Asi. The ministering angels said, before the Holy One, blessed be he, Master of the universe, in your Torah it is written, the great, mighty, and awesome God, who favors no one and takes no bribe from Devarim. Yet you, nevertheless, show favor to Israel. As it is written, the Lord shall show favor to you and give you peace. He replied to them, and how can I not show favor to Israel? As I wrote for them in the Torah, and you shall eat and be satisfied and bless the Lord your God, Devarim, meaning that there is no obligation to bless the Lord until one is satiated. Yet they are exacting with themselves to recite grace after meals, even if they have eaten as much as an olive bulk or an egg bulk, since they go beyond the requirements of the law. They are worthy of favor.
Very good. You made it with the phone. So, thank you.
Sure.
So, there's an idea that at first we started with the idea that, when you thank God, when you live in Israel, you have a beautiful, sumptuous meal and you're full, so then you thank God. Comes the Gemara and says, no, we Jews, we go beyond that. If we just had an olive's worth or an egg's worth, we had a ration of food, we would thank God too. And now we realize that Dr. Levy said, maybe we're thanking God. I don't know if it's so much a thanks when you're practically starving. I don't know if it's thanks. Maybe it's just acknowledging that he is the source of this food as well, even if it's just an olive's worth. Whatever it is, it's an acknowledgement from God. So we'll get back to that later, but bear that in mind, that we thank God even when we're not full. Yes.
Is food first? Is this Ein Kamach Ein Torah source?
Is this the what?
Ein Kamach Ein Torah.
The Ein Kamach Ein Torah. Right. If there's,
you were blessed because
the food. Eat, there would be
the
no
food
Torah.
Comes first, then the blessing. This is the after the meals. So here.
Oh yeah. Why we thank God after the meal? We're going to get to that later. Yeah. Why after the meal? Why not before? Right. So let's think about
before.
That. If we're being thankful, so which one should be, if you're being thankful, should be before or after?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think both.
Well, yeah, right. It could be. But Rabbi Soloveitchik wants to argue that after that we thank someone after we get something, not so much before. But you could certainly disagree.
It's a short motzi, but we don't want to wait to eat.
So the motzi might just be. It could be that they're different functions. The motzi, the bracha before, which the rabbis instituted, it's not a Torah law, is to acknowledge. I think that's what Christians are thinking. They're saying we want to acknowledge you before the meal, the grace before the meal. After the meal is more of a thanks for that which was. Oh. So maybe it's different in that sense. So why do we thank God even if we're not full? So it could be that it's not just a thanks for all the wonderful things. It's just acknowledging that whatever we have, it is from God. So we have to think about that. Now, when we talk about benching, will any text do? Now, let's say I wasn't very learned and I knew I wanted to thank God for my food. It says so in the Torah. So I said, oh God, thank you so much. Is that good enough? So the Gemara has a story like that. It's almost a Hasidic story. Binyamin Raya. There was a Binyamin or Yamin Raya. He was a shepherd. So shepherds, as we know from Re'akiva, tended to be simple folk. Krach Rifta, so he broke some bread. He just said in Aramaic, which was the lingua franca in those days, Rich Mari Dai Pita, bless the master of this bread. That's all he said. So Amar Rav, one of the great Talmudists in Babylonia, said, he got the mitzvah. Amar Rav called Bracha Shem Azkara Shem Eina Bracha, but didn't Rav himself say, you have to mention God's name? That's not God's name. The master of this bread? That's the name of God? He says, maybe he said, Rich Rachmana. Blessed is God, the master of this bread. So maybe he mentioned God, even if he used the Aramaic word meaning merciful God. He mentioned some name of God. But then the commentators ask a question. But what about the other brachas? He didn't thank God for the land. He didn't thank God. So they say, well, he probably had a bridge version of that too. You know, thank God, the master of the land. Thank God, the master of Jerusalem. Something like that. Or, no, the Gemara means what it says. The Rambam says, will any text do? Rambam says, yes. From a Torah perspective, you can say whatever you want. As long as you thank God, some way it's good enough. Comes the Rashba, who was Rabbi Adar, Shlomo Aderet. He was one of the great Talmudists after Nachmanides, his Nachmanides student. And he said, look, the formulas of these blessings are Torah obligation. You have to thank God for the food, the land, and Jerusalem. Now, but according to Torah, from the perspective of the original intent of the Torah, if you want to say it in any language like that shepherd, it's fine. And came Moshe, came Joshua, and came David. And they, according to the Talmudic story, they instituted the three brachas. Moshe instituted the bracha for the man, for the food, Joshua for the land, conquered it, David and Solomon for Jerusalem. Fine. But he says the actual text is a rabbinic idea, but he says, before they conquered Israel, right? Before they conquered Israel, there was still a mitzvah to thank God. Before they conquered Jerusalem, there was a mitzvah to thank God for the land. They didn't say what we say now. He says, we're asking today that God should restore Jerusalem, but they would have asked God to sustain the kingship and to sustain the temple. So, and to continue the peace in the land. So the blessings can change in their focus, but the themes are, according to the Rashba, the themes are rock solid. They have to be these themes, and we need to understand why these themes and what are these themes all about. Now, but doesn't it say in the Talmud that these blessings are derived from the verse? What do you mean? So they take that verse that we started with, should eat and be satiated and bless God, and they turn it into four blessings. You should bless. They said, let's parse the words. You should eat, you should be satiated, and you should bless. Stop right there. Bless. That's the blessing for food. Just a blessing. The Lord your God, the name of God, that's the zimun. When you introduce the benching, something when it's very difficult to do during COVID, when you have three Jews getting together, then my son came to visit. We had the first Zimun, first introductory benching in 6 months. But you know, one Jew calls out to the others to bless God, and then they bless God. And that's a way of blessing God's name. So when it says you should bless the Lord your God, that's the introductory blessing where you bless God's name. And on the land, that's the blessing about the land. And then when it says the good land, the word good, the good, that's Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is known in the language of the Midrash and the Torah is the good mountain is Jerusalem. When Moses said he wanted to see the good mountain, he didn't mean the mountain ridge that starts in Beersheba and goes up to the Jezreel Valley. He meant, that might be what he meant, but the rabbis say he meant Jerusalem. So, you, feeling of thanking God, a tov amitiv lakol, that God is good. Whatever he gave you, you thank him for. And then they say as follows. I only know that you should say the blessing afterwards, because they say you should eat, satiated, and then bless. So that's the grace after meals. What about, as Joe mentioned, the blessing before the meal? So they said, it's obvious. If you thank God when you're hungry, when you're full, you should certainly thank him when you are hungry. Let's think about it. If you should thank God when you're full, you should certainly thank him when you're hungry. But we said it doesn't make sense. Because you thank him when you're full because you have something to thank him for. You can't walk in. If Mrs. Radinsky would invite me to over her house to have her delicious cake and I didn't have the cake yet, I can't say, thank you, Mrs. Radinsky, for the delicious cake. I didn't eat it yet. But if I already had the cake, then I can thank him. So the Talmud's logic doesn't make sense. When you're full, you thank God. When you're hungry, certainly. No. When you're full, you have something to thank God for. When you're hungry, you have nothing to thank him for yet. What? So the Rabbi Soloveitchik said, no, that's if you think blessing, it's a thanksgiving, it's a thank you note. You don't send a thank you note before you went to dinner. But if, what is it? It could be something else. What if it was an acknowledgement, right? Right? That if you acknowledge him after the meal, well, you're ready, you're sick of food, you ate so much, you don't even want to have any more. Then you, if you even thank God when you're sick of food and you acknowledge God, certainly before when you appreciate food more, you should acknowledge him as well. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thinks this is a proof that you should acknowledge. But let's get back to our question. Doesn't it, the Talmud says that each blessing is derived from the Torah. So it must be that the Rambam would say that interpretation of the verse is not serious. There's some interpretations of the verses in the Talmud that are serious. They're telling you this is what the verse means. And he said, in this case, the rabbis made up the blessings. They connected them with this verse, but there's no obligation from a Torah perspective. God did not say what themes to mention. But then you say, what do you mean it doesn't say what themes? It certainly does say what themes. What theme is in the verse? You should listen to this verse. You should eat, you should be satiated, you should thank God for the good land that he gave you. What theme is mentioned? Right? Clearly, it says, bless God for the good land. So now, we have to turn to Rabbi Yonatan and Uziel, and I think this is going to get to Joe's idea about Thanksgiving. There are different translations of the Torah in official Aramaic. And one of them, it's written a little bit later, they call it Pseudo-Jonathan, whatever. It's certainly a lot older than I am. It's probably over 1,000 years old. And they call it Yonatan Raziel, whether it's really Yonatan Raziel or not. But it's an old translation, and it has interesting interpretations. So look how he translates this verse that we've been looking at the whole night. Utehevin zirin, you should be careful, bizman da'atu nachlin usvein, when you eat and are satiated. So notice, you should be careful. There, the idea of benching is to be careful not to, right? Not to what? I would say not to forget God, right? Not to forget. When you eat and satiated, havu modin umivarchin, kadam alokechem. You should be thank, modim, like modim, right? Modim, toda, thank and bless. So even though the Torah says the word uverachta, bless, he thinks that implied in bless is thank. As we said, thanks comes afterwards. But it also says, Mivarchim, blessing. The Lord your God, Al Kol Peri Ara Mishabcha, Diavlechon, on all the fruits of the good land. You don't thank God for the land. Well, you thank God for for, he used to talk about dunam, right? You bought 5 dunam of land. You know, thank God for the dunam. It's not the dunam. It's not how many acres you have. You thank God for what? You thank God for the, you thank God for the fruit of the land. So now we come to the idea that there could be 2 blessings. In other words, if you just, for years, I said the only real blessing is the blessing of the land. And the rest is rabbinic invention. Why? Because it says you should bless God for the good land. So that's what it means. Comes Rav Gigi from the Gush Etzion, and he says, exactly that. That's the real blecha, is no delecha. I was once doing a Seder in the army, and the general opens up, he was tired of eating, so he opens up the bencher, and he sees a beautiful blessing, thanking God for the land. He stands up, and he reads, no delecha, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Chazavotenu, and he reads the whole bracha. So I tapped him on the shoulder, this big guy, he's a lieutenant general, and I said, I'm sorry, we have to read the other bracha to start from the beginning. But he was right in a way. The main bracha is no delecha, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Chazavotenu. The main thing is the blessing for the land. Comes Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, and he says, no, that you're reading the verse wrong. You don't thank God for land. What do you think? We worship the land. You thank God for the fruit of the land. And that's the first bracha. The first bracha is for the food. Hazaner lam kulo. You thank God for the food. So now we've got the first bracha is thanking God for the fruit of the land. It's one interpretation. Then you thank God for the land. That's the other interpretation. What is a blessing? According to this, it's both thanks and blessing. Blessing itself. Yeah. What is a blessing for God? So this is a very long Sefer HaChinuch, but he basically says, look, God is all powerful. He has all the wisdom. He has everything. He doesn't need anything. So what is a blessing? How can you possibly give a blessing to God? He says, according to the premise that he said, this reason that blessed is an adjective, meaning to say, is an admission to him that he contains all of the blessings. Baruch Atah Hashem, you are the container of all blessings. You are the source, or as Zalvejik once said, you are the source of all blessings. And about the expression, may he be blessed, Baruch Hu, that we always mention, which is in reflexive case, blessed, Baruch is passive. We can say the intention of that is that we are supplicating to him that it be his will in front of him, it should be God's will, to cause the hearts of his creatures, of people, to be prepared in front of him that all should admit to him and pray. I am doing my, when I say a blessing, I'm doing my part to assure that God will be recognized by other people. I'm doing my part that God should be, that everyone should admit that he is praised. Of course, it's even better if I say the blessing out loud, or if I encourage other people to say a blessing, as in the Kaddish, or Baruch Hu, or the introduction to the benching, where I encourage other people to bless God. But even when I say my own bracha, I'm encouraging at least myself to admit that he is God. Admission and modim and thanks are related in Hebrew. Thanks simply means to admit that you owe something. So that's
With thanking God for allowing us to bless him.
Yes, that's in the modim blessing and the thanksgiving blessing in the Shemoneh Esrei. We say al shanach the modim lach. We thank God that we thank you. That's also something to thank God for. Thank you for the opportunity to bless you, but also to be the source, to be able to be one of the emissaries of God to spread the word about how blessed God is. That's also something maybe we're thankful for. Could be. So we talked about this. That this logic of the Talmud seems to reflect the idea that it's not a thanks, it's a recognition. A recognition, when you're hungry, you recognize God. You should certainly recognize him. I'm sorry, if when you're full, you recognize God, which is unusual, you should certainly recognize him when you're hungry and you're looking to God for food. We talked about this. Can you give thanks before you get the thing? So Reb Chaim Brisker, I'm sorry, Dr. Joe, but Reb Chaim Brisker, the Salvechik's grandfather, said, we have bitachon, but we don't give thanks for our bitachon. Again, you know, I think many Christians, many people would say, that, oh, I thank you, God, for all the faith that I have. But He doesn't like that idea. He says, the verse says in the morning davening, I trust in your kindness. I trust in it. I'm not going to thank you for it. But then, I will rejoice in your salvation. So when there's salvation, then you have something to thank for. So he claims that the thanking comes afterwards. Yeah, you can argue with it. I myself am not sure I understand it. But that's what Rabbi Chaim Brisker said, that before the meal, you just have faith. But after the meal, you can actually have thanksgiving. So it's different. Some claim in the Talmud that blessings are a matter of stealing. We alluded to it before. It says it's forbidden to benefit from this world without a blessing. Anybody who does is stealing from the holy sanctuary. You know, if you go to the Beit HaMikdash and you take the golden menorah, you bring it home, and you melt it down, and you take it to the bank, there's a certain prohibition. It's called me'ila, trespassing holy things. If I steal a dollar from the pushka in the Beit HaMikdash, I'm trespassing holy things. When you eat without a blessing, you're also doing that as well. But are there different types of blessings? Maybe I advertised tonight we're talking about blessings, and I said we're talking about benching. Maybe benching is different. Maybe blessing, benching is recognition, or benching is thanksgiving. But what about other brachas? The Rambam says there are three types. There's brachas hanaya, for pleasure, right? So what do you think that's going to be? If there's a blessing over pleasure, so what kind of blessing would that be? What would that reflect? If you just had pleasure, or you're going to have pleasure, right? So that could be a thanks, perhaps. But brachas for mitzvahs, there's a bracha thanking God for a mitzvah. So what is that? What type of... And then there's brachas hodah. Some are plain thanksgiving. It serves no other purpose than to give thanks. Some are requests, but Rabbi Salvation claimed that they're all in the same category. There may be three different types, but they're all recognition that God gave us the mitzvah, recognition that I have something to thank Him about, recognition that He's the source of the pleasure I'm about to have. So, but on the other hand, it's interesting to ponder whether the different blessings are different. Thanking God for a mitzvah, is that the same as thanking God for a good sandwich? So, something to think about. Okay. Rabbi Salvation has this idea that maybe a bracha is a price to pay. Just like if you have a holy animal and you don't want to bring that animal to the Beit HaMikdash, you want to redeem it for money, you have to pay the money. We have to pay a price for what we eat. Talmud says, wait a second, it says the world and everything in it belongs to God. But then it says that the heavens are for God and the earth is for us. So which one is it? Is the earth for us, or is God belong to God belongs the heaven and the earth? So they say if you make a bracha, then it belongs to you. You have to pay. You have to pay to go. You have to pay the price. It's another idea of what is a blessing. It's redemption money to be able to be worthy of receiving whatever blessing you're about to get. And this will explain an interesting thing. Every Friday night, we say Boy Prey Gafen, and we don't drink the wine. Generally, that's the verboten. You can't say, you ever see someone make a Boy Prey Gafen, and then make a joke or something, and then drink the wine? He's doing it the wrong way. He's supposed to make the blessing and then drink it. But on Friday night, we all do that. We say Boy Prey Gafen, and then we go on about Shabbos and the Makai Shabbos. Shabbos, God, Shabbos, Yavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavav that I'm right. You should say the Kiddush and then say Borei Pri Gafen and then drink the wine. So why do we do it the other way? The way we do it doesn't make sense. Comes Rabbi Soloveitchik and says as follows. If you would say the Kiddush over a cup of wine and then say Borei Pri Gafen, it means you were making Kiddush over? We can figure it out. What did that just, what am I, made Kiddush over something that wasn't good. What was wrong with it? If I make the Kiddush first and then I make the bracha, there's something wrong with that wine. It wasn't good for the Kiddush. It was not kosher for Kiddush. Why? Hint?
Maybe it wasn't blessed.
And therefore?
You're just sort of taking it from the world.
Right. So you can't make Kiddush over stolen goods. Once I make the bracha, it's not stolen anymore. But before I make the bracha, it's stolen. So comes Beis Hillel and says, the house of Hillel insists that we make Kiddush the way we make it. First, make sure you redeemed your, you paid your pass go, you paid $200. You made that wine kosher. It's not stolen. Then you can make kiddush over this beautiful cup that's not stolen. It's a very interesting idea. Very salvage. Okay. Now let's get down to the brass tack, the blessings. So the first two brachas couldn't be more different. One, you provide bread to all flesh. You ever see the pictorial, the beautiful pictorial bencher? They have pictures of your elephants and birds and pelicans for the first bracha. Because unotin lecha b'chol basar could include maybe even animals. So that's the first bracha, is very universalistic. The second bracha, that he inherited a cherished land to our ancestors, that's very particularistic. So it's very different. One is about everybody, and one is about Jews. So so it suggests that we need some universal thanks before the particular. I saw someone suggest that before we begin the benching, you have to have simple HaKavanah Tov. In other words, it's true. As Jews, we have very specific things to be thankful for. We have to be thankful for our relationship with God and for the land of Israel and Jerusalem and all that. But as a human being, the first decent thing to do is that we've got to at least be thankful as human beings. We don't ten lechem, that God gives bread. That's the first step, is the universal step. Because if you didn't do that, you would say, oh, I'm very frum, very religious, but thank God for the land of Israel and for this and that. What about the basic human decency to recognize that food comes from God? Maybe it doesn't even say that in the verse. Maybe the verse is focused on land. But how dare you get into this particularistic special mitzvah of thank God for the land? Just be decent first and be like the Christians, like everybody else. Thank God for the food. So that's the first bracha. It's basic decency. It's universal. The Sefer Abatim we've been studying in our various classes, it's a book of the 613 mitzvah written by Rabbi David HaKochavi. And he was a bit of a philosopher. He was defending the Rambam against the critics. So he says the order of the blessings like this. You want to get to the purpose of the human being. You want to get to the highest level. So the first thing is you want to thank God for your physical existence. That's the blessing over food. The second is a preparation for being higher than that. That we need to achieve a little bit of peace. And by having a land of Israel, we can have a little bit of peace. Have our own land. And the third is the ultimate purpose with Jerusalem. Now, and then he says, and since the last one is, you know, about the ultimate purpose, that's why we throw in Shabbos and Yom Tov in that third bracha of Jerusalem. And then he says, I'm not sure why we have the fourth bracha to commemorate the massacre of the Jews who, thank God, they were buried and it wasn't like the Holocaust where they didn't have a grave. They actually were buried after the massacre took place. Says, I have no idea clearly why that blessing is there. So we'll get to that later, the fourth bracha. But I think what he's arguing is something very, very important, very special. We're doing eating. Eating is physical. Physical, you know, it could be good, it could be bad. There are drawbacks of being too physical. We want to take this physical act of eating. We want to elevate it. How do we elevate it? We elevate it by talking about our higher aspirations for a land of Israel, who, according to the Rambam, the purpose of the land of Israel is really what? To give us peace of mind. So you don't have to worry about the goyim and the persecutions and different problems. That's the land of Israel, is the place where we can finally have some rest. And when we have rest, we can think, we can contemplate, we can. So the idea of benching is it's not just enough to thank you, God. I have sustenance. I'm a human being. I'm a creature. I'm a biological being. Now I had what I needed. Now my body can go. You can digest everything, and I can survive. That's not good enough. We want to go to the next step, to get to the shlemut, to wholeness, to greater perfection. That I want to appreciate that I'm here for a higher purpose, and Jerusalem reminds me of that higher purpose. So very, very important message from Rabbi David Kochavi, the halachist and philosopher of the Sefer HaBatim, the books of the houses. He goes on and he says, I'm reading from the first part, second, the 18th mitzvah of benching. He says, they say Moses instituted the first blessing when the man came down. The idea of the bracha is that the God is the source of all things. The acknowledgement, as we said in our salvation, acknowledging he's the source. He provides for everybody to keep the species in general. And of course, for those who are closer to him. And he's with us and he provides us great kindness. And those who follow the Torah, he particularly with us, he's particularly close with us. He gives us special divine providence. And when the man came, they realized that physically, that, wow, God cares about me. And it was really, God cares about me all the time. But when they had the man, they particularly realized that God is connected with them. So like Rabbi Bick, regarding in his book about the Shmona Esrei, the Amida, he says it's not about asking God for 18 different things. Shmona Esrei is about connecting with God. The benching is about recognizing that what? Recognizing that God has been providing for me all along in a sort of intimate kind of way, that we have divine providence like the man. That is what it is. And then we got even further when we conquered the land of Israel. We got even further in our appreciating the divine when we had the miracle of conquering the land of Israel. Good. Certainly in our day, it has extra meaning as we've seen God help us conquer Israel in our own day. Okay. Good. And he says, you see from the context of the verses that where the Torah wrote this business of thanking God for the food, that that he gave us all this stuff so we could walk in his ways, not just to eat the good land, but so we could keep the mitzvot, because that's what Devarim is all about, the keeping the mitzvot. So that's why we mention Torah in this bracha. Val Torah Kashli Matanu. Thank God for the Torah that you've taught us. What's it doing in there? It's supposed to thank God for the land. He says, because God didn't give us all this land just to have land and eat. We're supposed to keep the mitzvot. It's all connected. And if you don't mention that, we have to give it back. We have to repeat the benching if we didn't mention Torah. Because he gave us the land of other countries. It's not fair. Give it back to the Palestinians. If you're not keeping the mitzvot, keep the mitzvot, then you have a right to the land. Et cetera, et cetera. So very interesting. Now, what about this zimun? Another aspect of the benching, usually we think that there are four blessings. Blessing for the food, blessing for the land, Jerusalem. And there's another blessing about the massacre. We'll talk about that later. And then there is another bracha. Blessed is the one whose food we ate. It's the zimun, the introduction. If you have three men, perhaps three women as well, then you can invite two other people to bless God for the food that you ate. And then they respond, blessed is God for the food that we ate. Baruch shachal mishalom. So let's understand, what is that? Rabbi Soloveitchik said, when you do that, when you invite two other Jews to thank God, then it's similar to the Kaddish, it's similar to the Baruch Hu, it's similar to the Kedusha, where you're praising God with someone and bringing greatness to God to other people. And this is really how the Sefer HaChinuch described blessings in general, is to help people appreciate God. And that's what a zimun is, and it's a fulfillment of the verse, to sanctify God's name, Kiddush Hashem, helping other people appreciate God. Very serious. Now, the Rabbi Soloveitchik mentions that the Jerusalem Talmud has a very strange thing. It says, let's say you didn't have three people. Like in my house, I got my son and myself. We got my wife, my daughter. We have two men, two women. We don't have three. So could you invite just the other person there? Could you invite them? Let's say you had two people. Could you invite the other person and say, hey, let's bless God and let the other person respond? Do you have to have a crowd, two people? So one rabbi says yes, one rabbi says no. Our Talmud discusses it. The Jerusalem Talmud, Palestinian Talmud, says, well, according to Shmuel, that you'd only need two judges, you don't need three judges, then you could say the Zeman with just two people. Judges? What does Judges have to do with it? That's in the laws of Judges. We're talking about benching. What does that got to do with it? Comes the Rabbi Soloveitchik and says, when a couple of Jews sit down and I say, hey, you know what? Let's bench. I used to live among with some people once who didn't like, they didn't bench. They didn't bench. So if you bench, if I would have said to them, hey, let's bench, they would say, no, we don't do that. So what does that mean? They decided we're not benching in this house. We don't do benching. So when I say to two Jews, let's bless God for the food we ate, and they say, let's bless God for the food we ate, what did we just do? We made a judgment. We made a decision, a group decision. We're going to do it. We're going to thank God. So that's how Rabbi Soloveitchik explains the connection between judging and...
This has to do with witnessing. Yes. Like in a Jewish court, you need two witnesses. What we're doing is witnessing.
Ah, very good. You might say that three represents a court and two is witnessing. And there's a type of witnessing. Well, I think that can be true in general. As to explain that Talmud, the rabbi was specifically speaking about the idea that two judges are enough. And he was talking about judges. A judge can't be the witness because he's a judge.
But you need two witnesses, is that right?
Yes. Yes. The idea, yes.
Can you bench alone?
Right. It's strange that we do allow ourselves to say, blessed is God, just because like Joel Finkelstein recognized God, so he's blessed in as much as I do it. But he's really blessed if I can get someone else involved. And you're right. So it's interesting that you can even do a blessing with it. Some say that in the Sephardim, they often say, they say, Hashem Geffen. We all know that's wrong. He's supposed to say Brei Pri Hagafen. So I was talking to Rabbi Gerstein, I think, at the Spanish and Portuguese. He said, no, it's very simple. The last word of a blessing is Amen. So the blessing's not over. If the blessing's not over, you shouldn't say Gafen, which is what you say at the end of a verse. You say Geffen, which is what you say in the middle of a sentence. Because you're not, so really every blessing is supposed to be responded to. You know, it's waiting for an Amen, for the Amen chorus. Okay, good. A little bit too much material tonight, but let's just quickly finish up. Let's see. So, yeah, it's interesting that when we do thank God for the land, so a couple of interesting quick points. Number one, there was a rabbi who would only dilute the wine when he got to the second blessing, because he claimed that the first blessing is a blessing and the second one is a thanks. And when you're doing a song to God, you have to have nice diluted wine, not a wine that you can't even drink because it's so thick. So he felt that the Noda, the thanksgiving blessing, is a whole different song to God that the first one is not. Rabbi Soloveitchik explains that you can't just say thanks God, thanks for the land. You have to say it's a beautiful land. It's a desirous land, like like Eve was desiring that fruit. The land of Israel draws us. It every Jew, even no matter how removed they are, there's a certain connection, a certain longing for the land of Israel. That's why we have to call it the desirous land. We mentioned it's a holy land. We mentioned it's expensive land. The idea that some Jews say, you can't have all the Jews in Israel. There wouldn't be enough room. That's heresy. The land of Israel is big enough. It can expand. It's like a deer skin. You can stretch it. It can have as many people as you want. How many people are in Manhattan? 8 million. So you can get, Israel's way bigger than Manhattan. Tanya Reb Elazar Oimer. Kol Shlomer Eretzchem Torah Rechava. So they say you have to mention Torah. We're not just thanking God for the land. We thank God for the covenant, which is connected to the land. Thank God for the Torah connected to the land as well. Because the land is all about, in order to have the land of Israel, you have to keep the covenant and you have to keep it. Now the blessing of Jerusalem is weird because we ask God to have mercy. This is not a thanksgiving. The whole night we were under misimpression that benching is a thanksgiving. But the third blessing is a prayer. So what's a prayer for Jerusalem doing in benching? So one idea is that once you mention praise, you're thanking God. So you're already talking to God. You got to make a request. Or they used to say it as praise, but now the temple is destroyed. So we're saying it as a prayer. We changed it. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Maybe it's a weird kind of praise, and we'll end on this point. The Talmud says that we should thank God with all of our might. What does that mean? No matter what you're given in life, no matter what kind of sour grapes, what kind of plate you have in life, you thank God anyway. It says, how do you know you thank God for the bad thing as well as the good? Because it says you bless God for what he gave you. Sometimes he doesn't give you good things. You have to bless him for that anyway. You thank God for everything you have. So when we say, God, restore Jerusalem. Jerusalem is destroyed. Restore it. You know what that is? It's actually we're thanking God for Jerusalem. We're thanking God for that which we don't have as well. It's a little bit of a stretch. That's what he claims. He says as follows, even as one thanks God for the adversity of the destruction of the land and of Jerusalem, you can also thank him for his need and not only for his salvation. Sorry. Do not render us needful of gifts from the hands of flesh and blood. You want to thank God even for your needs. I think Joe was mentioning something like that. You want to thank God for the problem of Jerusalem. You want to thank God for that too. And the fourth blessing is the weirdest bracha, and it connects with what we just said. The fourth blessing was instituted because we say God is good and he makes good for others. He's good because when Beitar was destroyed, which was the worst thing that ever happened to the Jews, tens of thousands of Jews were killed before the Holocaust, and they had a great ruler, and he thought by all of them to be the Mashiach, but he fell into the hands of the Romans who killed him, and it was a calamity as great as the destruction of the temple. But the bodies of the people massacred were buried, and they didn't smell when they buried them. So for that, in the end of benching, we always thank God for being good. We thank God for being good because we were able to bury the massacred people. So the blessing for Jerusalem is a blessing over an imperfect world. The blessing over the dead who were buried and didn't smell is a blessing for the imperfect world. The blessing for an olive worth of food when all you have is a ration is, right? If you're benched in a concentration camp, it's a blessing recognizing God even in adversity. It's a recognition that everything comes from God, even the bad things as well. So I like to say like this, that at the end of the day, when we say the benching, We're thanking God not only for, you know, satiation, a great meal, but we're also thanking God even if it wasn't a great meal. Because recognize that it comes from him like the man, it's part of our relationship with God. It builds that, benching is meant to build that relationship. That God, I have a job. I can put food on the table. I had lunch today. And it's all from God. It could have been very different. I could have gotten killed at the corner, crossing the street, or who knows what. And I didn't have to be here altogether. So it's a recognition. And we're able to thank God even for the worst of times. So as people who live in a relatively privileged existence, we could say, when we get to that fourth blessing, when we get to Jerusalem, we can say, you know, we could thank God even if things were 100 times worse. Certainly for the little pekulach I have today, the little problems I have today, I can thank God. No question about it. So it enables you to be able to thank God in any circumstance. The benching is designed so that you could thank God in the worst possible circumstance. You could still thank God. So, and perhaps that's the idea of blessings in general, is to recognize God, to remind yourself to try to be as kind as God is to us. We should be to others, and not to forget God. And that no matter what, is always something to be thankful for, and that we have a huge role to play in the world to bring God's existence and blessing to other people as well. So that's my official presentation. At this time, I'll open up to any comments, questions, thoughts.
Isn't it ironic that this is the most blessed generation probably the Jews have ever had, and we're the least, let's say, observant, or the least grateful, the least knowledgeable. Of all the generations, we have so much to be thankful for, and we don't. But we don't have to be thankful for what we think.
Yes, you can. Yeah, right. Thankfulness and success don't always go together. Right?
That's right.
Right. The more you have, the more you worry. Yes, you can sometimes, right? The most hospitable people, some of the people who have the least. It's very
a wonderful session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thoughts?
So, Rabbi, when I'm venting alone, I should follow my blessings with Omein?
No. I'm just saying that theoretically, a blessing is designed. Theoretically, you're correct that a blessing is designed to have an amen at the end, but we don't do that. The benching is unique. That for Ashkenazic Jews, the only time we do say amen to a blessing when you finish the third blessing, you say amen. Bnei Rachamav Yushalayim, amen, and it shows that that's the end of that blessing. But generally, we Ashkenazic Jews don't say amen to our own blessings. Sephardic Jews do say amen after a series of blessings, like Yishtabach,
I see,
Gaal Yisrael, Amrechemo Yisrael Bashalom. After the any series of blessings, before the Shema, the Amida, they say Amen. So they do more of that. But no, unfortunately, we don't. What I was saying is that ideally, when we say a bracha, there's someone else there to join in and to say Amen. And that makes it brings more blessing. Sephardic Jews, mystical Jews, some people are very firm Jews, are more careful about this. Whenever they say a bracha, they always say it out loud so others can answer Amen. I'm like a Marano. I'm afraid that, you know, I grew up, I don't know, I was like afraid that anybody should hear that I'm so frum or something. So I always mutter it underneath my breath. But
I see.
You should be more proud of the blessings.
Okay.
Out loud.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. What about in the morning? So is that one of the reasons that during Birchas HaShachar, some have the custom of saying it out loud to have people respond Amen?
Right, so there's a technical. Usually, they give a technical answer to that. That you want to have, I think, was it 51 amens?
100,
something like that.
Oh, okay.
100, I don't know. But there's a technical answer. But I think what we're saying tonight is that we want to be that chorus, that amen chorus, to help bring blessings into the world. Right, how much more effective it is? Right, I think the answer to your question is yes. That how much more effective it is that there should be a group answering, I mean, to all those blessings they say in the morning. I think they were designed really to be private. They were designed, you know, a person puts on his shirt, so he says, Malbisha Omim, he stands up he puts his slippers on, he stands up, so he says, Amichim, you know, Amichim to the Gavir. But I think the rabbis, somehow in the custom over the centuries, was that we made it more public, and in that way, we're able to have the Amin as part of it, and at least for the Chazan, and by extension for the whole congregation. And yes, I think that makes the blessing more meaningful and fulfilling the ultimate idea of a blessing, according to Sefer HaChinuch, bringing the blessing out to other people. It's good.
I feel like it's like creating a team.
Yes, Rabbi Soloveitchik made that point. He says, why is it that we always start with a Kaddish or a Baruch Hu? Maariv, in the Nesach Sfarad, you start with a Kaddish and then Baruch Hu. Right, Ashkenazim, start with a Baruch Hu. Mincha, you say Ashri, but then you go into a Kaddish. And in the morning, also Baruch Hu, Kaddish. So he says that when Kaddish is recited, you become a team, you become a minion. If you would just say, look, we don't COVID, we don't have time for that. We'll everyone come, we'll say the Shema, and then we'll say the Amida together, and then we'll repeat the Amida, we'll say Kedusha. So he said, you're not a minion yet. What do you mean? I got 10 Jews. I got 50. I got 100 Jews. He said, no, until one person says, hey, everybody, let's bless God. And everybody says, hey, amen. Until you have that, there's no team. There's no cohesion. You have to bring the group together. At that point, you have a minion. And then and only then, you get the mitzvah of praying in community. If I go to a minion, then I said the blessings of Shema as a community. I didn't have to. What's wrong with the blessings? Like Elaine says, if I said the blessings by myself, what's wrong with it? But by saying Baruch Hu, I said that even the blessings of Shema, even Shema, I said as a community. And then when I went into the Amida, it wasn't just 10 people happened to be praying together. We had already united together through the saying of the Kaddish. We formed that team, like Ms. Brzezinski says. So that's good. It's a good way of looking at it.
Rabbi. Great. So say the minion's running late it's running late, and they only have 9 men. Then the 10th man shows up after Marv already started. So what happens then? What's the case?
Right. So it's an interesting question. Is it enough that just 10 Jews prayed together? Or do you need to sort of unite them first? Yeah, I have to look back at Rabbi Soloveitchik's thoughts on this. I'm not sure that he would say if 10 Jews prayed together, they don't get the mitzvah of joining together. But I did want to argue that to answer a famous question in Tosfos asked. We know that we're supposed to say Ga'al Yisrael, we thank God for the redemption, and then you pray for redemption, you pray. So Ga'al Yisrael, some shuls, the chazan is afraid, he say it out loud, because somebody might say Amen, and then you'll have an interruption. So he says, Ga'al Yisrael, be quiet. And we're supposed to put the two together. What happens? At night, what happens? You say Ga'al Yisrael, Hashkivenu, and then instead of going right into Shemon Esrei, we have a Kaddish. You said the Shema, and now you have a Kaddish? You're breaking up the Shema and the Amidah? I thought you were supposed to put them together. What's going on? So Tosfos says, he gives all kinds of excuses. So Rabbi Soloveitchik explains it from a fundamental point of view. I think this is what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. If not, then I'm sort of building on what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. And that is that at night, you didn't have to say the Shema with the Amidah. So when you said the Baruch Hu before the Shema, that was good for the Shema. But it doesn't carry over to the Amidah because the Amidah is a separate thing. You don't have to say the Amidah at night. Amidah is kind of disconnected. But if you want to have a communal Amidah, there's no repetition at night. So you want to have a communal Amidah, you got to say the Kaddish first to make that Amidah a communal Amidah. So yeah, I'm arguing if that's true, then I, or perhaps I, Soloveitchik, whoever said that, is arguing that that yes, if you just came into a room and 10 people said Shemona Esrei together, it would not be a fulfillment of davening together. You have to at least do something together, such as either the repetition of the Amidah, that's a group activity, or better yet, before you say the Amidah, to have the Kaddish to join you all together.
Not to get too technical, too nitty-gritty, but say, Marav Amidah, everyone's almost done. They're all nine people, they're davening on the road. The 10th man shows up, and now at the very end, once the chazan's about to say that final, the Kaddish before Aleinu, b'di'evad, have you davened with a minyan? I mean, can the chazan come forward and say Kaddish before Aleinu? The end of...
No, he can't say... If nine people pray together and the 10th guy shows up before Aleinu, they cannot say the Kaddish after the Amidah. Because that Kaddish is to accept the prayer of the 10 people.
He's only at nine.
You can't say it. You can say Kaddish after Aleinu. That's just the Kaddish. You can always say Kaddish. You can stand up right now and say Kaddish. Any event, I know it's getting a little late, but any last comments? We'll take one more thought and we'll call it a night. All right, everybody. Great to be with everybody. Thanks for joining us. And this is the end of this series, but welcome to join us on Thursday evenings. We have a Parsha class. I'm going to try to tackle tomorrow night question of Isaac. It's always seems like Isaac's not as good as the others. So I'm going to sort of look at is he the argument against Isaac, and then we'll try to build up Isaac as a true patriarch. Okay, tomorrow night. Okay, good night, everybody. Nice to see everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night, everybody.
Rabbi.
Good night. Thank you
all. Good night. Thank you.